guys. Welcome back to the Play Like a Girl podcast, one of the shows for SB Nation's Ohio State site, Land-Grant Holy Land. We are two girls talking about sports because our opinion counts too. I'm your host, Meredith Hine, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by my co-host, Megan Hessline.
Hey, Meredith. So happy to be back. It's been a minute, but I'm glad that we get to talk about some hot topics today together.
I know. I can't believe, we are recording this on June 1st, and I can't believe it's already June 1st.
I know. It's unreal because I finished classes at Ohio State over a month ago. So I've just been enjoying my summer break and it's already flying by. I can't believe a month is already gone, but hey, at least it's finally summer. But then again, that's not much sports wise, but hey, we'll find something to talk about.
It's true. We are so excited to have you on the show today to talk through some hot topics, including transfer portal, NIL, and why the heck college football is choosing to be so dramatic, probably like you said, because there's not a whole lot else going on. But we've got some walk-in items that we want to get to first. So kicking things off, Megan, have you had a chance to watch any of the French Open?
Oh my gosh, yes. It has been so exciting. I just love watching all of these young players kind of taking over, especially Coco Gauff. She's finally in a semifinal beating Sloane Stephens. She has been so fun to watch. And honestly, just so many on the men's side has been just so exciting, especially Carlos Alcaraz. I know he did lose to Alex Zverev, but he was on like a 14-match winning streak. He was doing amazing. And then obviously the Djokovic-Nadal match was just a classic as always. So, I mean, every match has just been so exciting. So I just can't wait to see how it turns out.
Yeah. I especially, like you said, on the women's side, I love that we're seeing these newer personalities. I guess Sloane Stephens has been around for a minute, but she's still so young.
Right.
But it's, I don't know. I don't know who to root for on the women's side because I love all of these players so much.
Right. I think I got to go with Coco. I want her to win her first career major. I mean, it's not going to be easy because world number one, Iga Swiatek, has just been so dominant. She's on, a 32-match win streak. So she's going to be difficult to beat, but Coco's in the semis, so we'll see where she can go from here. But I think she's going to be my girl that I'm rooting for, in this major.
Yeah. I got super jealous. So work has been very, very busy for a while now. Mm-hmm. And there I was on Instagram, and my friend went to a wedding in Paris and then, started posting from the French Open.
That sounds heavenly. That sounds so fun.
I mean, first of all, the wedding looked amazing, but then also she was at the French Open. And that's how I realized that the French Open was happening.
Yeah. Get you a little bit jealous to realize, oh, I'm not there, but yeah. Hey, I can at least watch it from home.
I also was listening to a podcast. Do you know why it's called Roland Garros?
I do not.
He was one of the first French pilots, a French aviator.
Okay.
I think in World War One, I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about him and I was like, oh, that name sounds familiar. And then they were like, oh yes, he's the namesake of Roland Garros, the tennis venue.
Huh. That's interesting. Cool. So I guess, yeah, a little,
aviation aviator.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
For sure. That's wrapping up this weekend, I believe, right?
Finals. Yes, I believe so.
So lots of exciting tennis to watch this weekend. A little bit closer to home, I saw a report yesterday that Aaron Donald and the Rams are struggling to reach a deal on his contract and he might retire.
I cannot tell if he is bluffing or not because he's been saying all along since, the Rams won the Super Bowl that he would be fine with playing another year with the Rams, but he'd also be fine with retiring. And I'm just I think I believe him because there's honestly no better way to end your career, winning a Super Bowl, going out on top like that, and just being one of the best players, if not the best player in the league. But he just has so much more to give, I feel like. He's definitely still has a few good years left. So I don't know. I feel like they gotta at least make an intriguing offer to him. I can't tell. I can't tell if he's serious about retirement, but I guess we'll see. But I don't know how the Rams could just, you know, let him walk like that. But I guess, you know, in the next few weeks, we'll see if they can come to an agreement.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't like a new story, though. It's a new twist. But, you know, right. We have seen players retiring earlier and earlier just because they don't want to play anymore. Mm-hmm. Football is a hard sport on your body. He's 31 years old. He's been around for a minute, but perhaps this will pave the way for the Boses and Chase Young to have full reign of, you know, the top defensive end spots in the NFL.
Right. I mean, that's true, but I don't know. It would be sad to see him go because he has just been so dominant his entire career. But yeah, like you said, maybe it is time for some of the younger guys to take his place. But I feel like he's not going to retire. That's my personal opinion, but I guess we'll see.
I mean, it's hard to imagine like that the Rams wouldn't pay up for him or another team pay up for him. But yeah, maybe his price is too high because there's other things he wants to do. We'll see. You know, football is still far away. There is some time for that deal to come to fruition. However, what there's not a lot of time until is NBA Finals Game 1, which is Thursday night. Megan, who do you have?
Okay, can I just say I'm so excited for this series. I think it's going to be so good. But for Game 1, I got to go with the Warriors. They're playing at home, and I'm pretty sure they're undefeated at home in the playoffs. So I think just they've had more rest than the Celtics because they beat Dallas earlier. And then just with the fans and the experience they have in the finals, I think no doubt they're going to win Game 1. I think it's going to be a back and forth series. I don't think it's going to be a sweep, but I think the Warriors are going to take the first game.
Yeah, I unfortunately tend to agree. I definitely groaned when they beat Dallas because, I don't know, feels like the Warriors have had their time. It's kind of like every time the Patriots made the Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Like, what are we doing here? Over this narrative at this point.
But I feel like everyone does hate on the Warriors, and I have to admit, I hopped on the bandwagon a few years ago, so I'm kind of rooting for them. But they are more likable than the Patriots with Tom Brady.
Oh, like, they're definitely likable. Yeah. Steph Curry is one of the most lovable players in the league, maybe in all of sports. But it just gets kind of old when you repeatedly see the Warriors in the finals.
That's fair, but I just want to get Klay another ring after coming back from his injuries. I think he deserves that, but then again, even though I'm a New York sports fan, so I hate Boston sports, I actually like the guys on the Celtics. I love Jason Tatum. I like Jaylen Brown, but so I'm just rooting for a good series. I'm just hoping that we get some good basketball, but I don't know. I think in the end, the Warriors are going to get yet another championship, but we will see. Hopefully it's competitive.
Yeah. We all hope that both teams have fun. I did want to throw out, so my husband asked me the other day if Steph Curry has surpassed LeBron in terms of like historical relevance. And my first response was absolutely not. That's a ridiculous question. But then I was kind of like, actually, it's possible. He plays such a different game. He's evolved the game. At this point, you know, I think he's matched LeBron in terms of, if he wins this, I think he'll match LeBron in terms of finals, right?
I believe so. I think they'll tie in terms of championships won, but I don't know. It is really hard to say because, yeah, like you said, they're two totally different players. They have different roles, but you can just obviously see the effect that Steph has on the Warriors, and, you know, they're a totally different team when he doesn't play. The same can be said for LeBron, too, obviously, but I don't know. The comparison game is just so hard, but I think I think if Steph wins another finals, then it could be said that, I don't know if it could be said that he's better, but it is just so hard because with the amount of points he scored, he's the greatest shooter ever. I think he's definitely up there. He's definitely on the Mount Rushmore, I would say, of basketball. But I don't know. It's hard to say if he's better than LeBron.
It's so hard because they're such, I mean, there are such different players. They've directly competed and LeBron's won some, Steph's won some.
Right.
Also, for the record, LeBron has won 4 championships. Steph has won 3. So they can tie just to confirm. But and I feel like what else is interesting is, you know, LeBron was always kind of, he had Dwayne Wade, right?
Right.
In Miami. He had Kyrie when they won in Cleveland. But I feel like the Warriors have always had such a well-rounded team.
Yeah.
And coaching has played such, like, Steve Kerr's name is, you know, just as high as Steph Curry's name mm-hmm. when you talk about the Warriors' success, as opposed to when the Cavs have won championships. It's kind of like LeBron James, dot, 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 like Dwayne Wade, Kyrie Irving, and then everyone else. So I do wonder if that is influencing my bias against Steph, that he's been lucky to have so many, or fortunate to have so many players around him.
Right. Yeah, he has had, you know, Kevin Durant. Don't forget that. And then obviously
I forgot Kevin Durant.
Right. I think that would help him. But I mean, just the trio with him and Klay and Draymond is unreal. And then Andre Iguodala has played such a huge role as well. Just honestly, the Warriors are just a dynasty and it's not just made up because of Steph. Obviously, he's the most important player on that team, but everyone has just contributed to these wins and to these championships. So, yeah, I think it's definitely more of a team effort when it comes to the Warriors and Steph Curry. But then in terms of LeBron, it's more of a, you know, he's leading the way. It's obvious that he's the best player on the team and the MVP. But, yeah, it's just hard to say, like we've been talking about, because they're just so different. But they're both great. We'll just say that. I think they're both obviously all-time greats. And who knows if, you know, Steph wins 1 or 2 or more championships than LeBron, if he'll be the greatest. But I just want to enjoy, you know, watching them now. And who knows how much longer we'll get to see him. So I'll just sit back and enjoy the dominance of Steph Curry right now, even though it's probably not popular with a lot of people.
Yeah. Meanwhile, let's not forget that Bill Russell has 11 championships okay. to his name. So, you know, as we're discussing LeBron and Steph being the GOAT, you know.
That's just
not forget Bill Russell.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That's like unmatchable.
It's really easy to forget like the Celtics dynasty from like back in the day because it was like the 60s. But
right.
Yeah, it was funny because I was saying like, I'm sick of the Warriors winning, so I'm going to cheer for the Celtics. And my husband was like, Meredith, like the Celtics literally won every championship in the 60s.
But that was forever ago.
It was forever ago. It was before our time.
Right.
The new Celtics needed that. Anyway, want to jump into our hot topics for today. Megan, I saw a really interesting article by Andy Staples from The Athletic yesterday. The article is titled, In a New Age, Coaches' Stances on NIL Portal Reveal a Generational Divide. And I thought this was a really interesting take on a topic that's been causing a lot of drama in the last few weeks in the college football world. Basically, the article discussed how younger college coaches have started their careers when college football was already a multi-billion-dollar industry. And they're familiar with working within these new paradigms of NIL, of the transfer portal. And, you know, basically, that's a huge contrast to what we're seeing from older coaches like Nick Saban, like Jimbo, who are calling for regulation and calling for all these things because they're having trouble operating and figuring out how to work in this new space. And I want to read a quote that I thought was really interesting. Staples said, "What you're watching is the pain of an information gap in an emerging market. Nearly every private industry in America has dealt with this at some point. The salaries of software engineers, podcasters, Instagram, clothing brands, books, people aren't published anywhere. So how do companies know what to pay?" So Megan, with that, what are your thoughts on, you know, this idea of young coaches maybe being more fit or more able to operate in this new paradigm?
Yeah, I feel like it makes sense. Obviously, when you think about it, these younger coaches have more so grown up, you know, in this technology age. And like you said, football, college football is already a huge money-making industry. So they're kind of, this isn't as much of a shock to them. Like, they could definitely see this coming. And, you know, with the rise of NIL and the transfer portal, I feel like it's just not as a shocking of an idea as it would be to these older coaches, such as Nick Saban. So I feel like that's why these younger coaches are just doing better with it and can see from the player's perspective why it benefits them so much, you know, to get these NIL deals and to be able to utilize the transfer portal if they need it. So I'm obviously in agreement with these younger coaches because I am kind of young myself. But yeah, I think it's just hard for these older coaches to keep up with everything. Obviously, they're just used to, you know, figuring out how to put together a winning football team. But now they have to deal with all this outside noise of NIL and transfer portals, which they're probably just, they don't really know what to do with and how to handle. So I can definitely see how that would be a struggle for them to, you know, get used to.
Yeah. And one of the things that Staples commented on was this idea that these coaches are not working in higher education. They're working in the entertainment industry. And it feels like some of these other, like, older coaches in particular have not quite gotten on board with that idea yet. Mm-hmm. Because, like, when Nick Saban started his coaching career, college football coaches were not making millions of dollars a year. You know, these salaries are things for coaches that have ballooned with these huge media deals that have risen in recent years and with all of this money that's getting paid to conferences. So I agree. I think younger coaches are coming in with this expectation that players should be getting a cut of this massive revenue mm-hmm. that's coming to college football. Basically, if it's benefiting the coaches, it should benefit the players who are putting this, for all intents and purposes, a product on the field in terms of a football game.
Right. Yeah. I forget. I saw in the article, I don't know which coach it was, but, you know, mentioned exactly that no one would be making this money. No one would be seeing this if it wasn't for the players. They are putting together the entertainment for us. And that is how that they are making money. So this is a multi-billion dollar industry, and I think they should be getting at least, you know, a sliver of that money being generated. So I think NIL is the perfect way to do that. I don't see how it is harmful personally, but I just think it's a great way for players to, you know, make some money for themselves and their families and give back in any way they can. So I'm in full support of it as long as, you know, they can stay focused on the football field as well and, you know, keep practicing and keep their head in the game and not get, you know, too involved. That NIL takes priority over football because obviously they're in this position because of football in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, I think the issues with NIL arise with things like collectives where you're seeing essentially, I mean, it's the same thing as boosters, right? So rich schools and schools with, you know, large, I guess, boosters who can donate large sums are able to use that for recruiting benefits.
Right.
So this idea that Jimbo said about, or was it, which one said that the other was buying his class? I think Saban said that Jimbo bought his class. Mm-hmm. Again, which, like, doesn't matter anymore because those rules are, like, not in existence anymore. But, you know, it's less on the individual level because all of this is ultimately, you know, players are seeing the money come in and that's great. But it's when we're thinking about this competitive piece, you know, Nick Saban's stance is like, if we're not able to create a level playing field for folks and there's no transparency and there's no regulation, then you can just buy your classes. Well, guess what? Like, Alabama will certainly be able to buy their classes because there's a lot of Alabama fans who are willing to pay for that. Like, ditto with Ohio State, you know, same with Clemson or, you know, any of these big brands, USC certainly.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't see why Saban is so threatened about this, because you are Alabama football. Like, yeah, these new NIL rules are going to, you know, cause some changes in the recruiting landscape, but that doesn't change the fact that you're Alabama. You're still going to be one of the top programs every year. You're going to get the top recruits simply because of who you are. You really don't need the assistance of, you know, offering these huge deals for these recruits, because just because of this money, it's really not going to change the fact that these players still want to play for one of the top programs in the country. So I just thought it was interesting that, you know, Saban's a little bit insecure that these other schools kind of have an advantage now, or just the benefit of offering some money to these recruits. But I don't know.
I mean, I think you know what it is. He feels out of control of this situation.
Right. Yeah.
He can't personally like dole out these sums to the recruits. He can only do exactly what he's done in the past, which has been successful.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure he's terrified that in this new paradigm, like, again, Alabama's probably going to benefit, but like he will not directly have control over how they benefit, which is certainly interesting. But NIL is obviously just one half of the chaos that we've seen in the last few months in college football, the other half being the transfer portal. Saw a report in the last couple weeks that the 2021-2022 season, academic year, et cetera, will surpass the 2020-2021 academic year in terms of transfers. So, you know, we have not seen the peak of the transfer portal yet, is what I'm saying. And certainly, you know, that also has caused some consternation for older coaches, as discussed in the article.
Right. I can see why these older coaches would be against this vast use of the transfer portal, because I don't know, I feel like they're just stuck in this mindset that once you commit to a team, you should, you know, be there for all of your eligibility. Even if you're not playing, you just have to stick with it, keep grinding, you know, that kind of mindset, which I feel is kind of dated. But I see why these younger coaches are in support of it, because I just feel like they understand that these players need to do what's best for themselves. And if it's not their school and their program, then they're just supportive of them, you know, kind of reaching their goals and doing what's best for them. And I think mental health also plays a role in this. I think these younger coaches are seeing that, you know, being in a program that's not working for you could be so detrimental to your mental health, which is obviously a huge headline and a huge problem in these recent months and years. So I think just the younger players understanding, or the younger coaches understanding, that these players have the ability to go to a different school to see if, you know, it work out better for them, then great, they support it. But I don't know if the older coaches necessarily see it the same way.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting because there's certainly a balance, right? And I'm biased, but I personally love Ryan Day's take that he's shared in recent weeks. And that's that if you recruit a player, you should, as a coach and as a program, be committed to developing them. You know, ultimately, if the player decides it's not the right fit, if the player chooses to leave, that's their prerogative. But ultimately, like, the program itself and the coaches who have told the player that they're going to develop them, you know, give them a shot on the field, like, they need to hold up their end of the bargain. And I feel like that's really important. I think that's also a reason that Ohio State has seen a bit lower level of transfers out than other schools, and why Ryan Day hasn't leveraged the transfer portal as much. But also, again, if you're able to recruit top five recruiting classes, you probably, year in and year out, you probably don't need to be searching the transfer portal.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I agree with what you said and with what Ryan Day said, that he obviously just cares about his players so much, which I think is just so amazing and so evident, just, you know, in the way he talks and how he, you know, what he does for his players. So I think it's great that he does everything he can to, you know, make this person a great person, but also a great player on the football field. So personally, I wish that, you know, every coach was like Ryan Day and would do everything they can for this player. You know, putting the player over team success. You want this player to do well individually so each player can, you know, bring together that team success. So I just wish that every coach would, you know, kind of care more about the players and realize that, okay, I would love for him to stay at my school and my program, but if that's not what's best for him, then he can move on. But I did everything that I could for him. So hopefully that mindset kind of changes around college football and these older coaches come to adapt that mindset. But yeah, I'm just really happy with what Ryan Day is doing. And obviously it's great that, you know, it's our coach who's kind of leading the way. So hopefully these other coaches adapt that same mindset.
I mean, we'll see. Obviously, coaches have leveraged different strategies when it comes to the transfer portal. We've seen Mel Tucker use it with great success. We've seen other coaches be less successful with it, and some who choose not to use it really at all, like Day. Obviously, NIL and transfer portal have their place. We will see how they continue to evolve, and I'm sure that, you know, if we have this conversation on June 1st, 2023, we will have learned a lot more about, you know, where things have gone with these two things that have been wreaking havoc on college football. We've got a little bit more chaos to discuss, but we're going to take a quick break. So stay with us. Welcome back. If the transfer portal and NIL weren't dramatic enough for you, the absolute meltdowns we saw recently from Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher certainly fit the bill. The saga that we alluded to before the break took a confusing turn Tuesday when Saban said that he has, quote, no problem with Jimbo, which is obviously counter to the many things he said about the Texas A&M coach in recent weeks. So in that spirit, we thought it would be fun to share our biggest beefs with some current college football coaches.
Yeah, so I just want to start off with the one I have the most beef with, to put it in a positive light. Dabo Swinney with the Clemson Tigers. There's just so many things that obviously Ohio State and Clemson have faced off a few times in recent years, and Ohio State came out on top last time. But I think this is the biggest thing that Dabo did against us was rank us 11th in the final coaches poll 2 years ago when we actually made the playoffs. So Dabo is just very concerned about the Clemson Tigers, and that's it. And he does everything he can to, you know, obviously make them look good and do the best that he can with them. But the fact that he ranked Ohio State 11th was just laughable, honestly, because it was obviously just so wrong. But I could just go on and on about Dabo, but that was the biggest thing, I think, for me.
I'm going to kick off with Brian Kelly, because first of all, I think it's a really awful thing to leave your team before a bowl game, and then to leave your team while you're having conversations with LSU and then adopt a Southern accent like the second you get to Louisiana. Like, fair. he's the worst.
Yeah, that is honestly laughable. I think my next one would be Lincoln Riley. I did not agree with him leaving Oklahoma just, you know, obviously to get more money with USC. I'm all for getting your money and whatnot, but Oklahoma is what built you. You have a great program within Oklahoma, and then you seek just to, you know, make millions more dollars than you already have. I don't know. I didn't agree with it, because you already have a ton of money. Why are you just chasing after more? But I don't know. I was upset to see him just kind of ditch his players in his program like that. But hey, I guess go get your bag with USC.
I'm going to pile on Lincoln Riley too, because he did not abandon his players. He brought them all from Oklahoma, or at least the ones that he wanted, to USC. And I just feel like, I mean, again, the benefit of the transfer portal is that players can leave when the coach that recruited them leaves. It's just so, like, way to leave your program in absolute shambles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you left your team in a lurch. I mean, it was very cute that Bob Stoops could come in and, like, coach the bowl game and all of that. But then you brought all, like, your good players over. Like, I don't know. It just feels kind of lame.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, literally, yeah. That program gave everything to you and supported you, and then you just leave them totally screwed. So, yeah, definitely not a fan of Lincoln Riley after that one.
Who's next?
Oh, is it time for Jim Harbaugh? I think we should make it time for Jim Harbaugh. Okay, this man just irks me. He is just so arrogant, and I feel like obviously he has to, you know, year after losing to your rival, you just gotta, you know, get everything you can out of the one win you get against them. But he just really thinks he is all that in a bag of chips, and obviously I'm annoyed because we were on the losing end this past season, but he just is acting like he is the greatest team of all time. He's got the greatest players ever, and he is just on top of the world, and it is just so awful to see because we have to wait until November to get our payback. So it is just a struggle right now, just waiting until the game later this year.
Yeah. I'm going to pile on Harbaugh too. The worst thing that he said was when he said that some people wake up on third base and think they hit a triple, about Ryan Day after last November. And I'm just sitting here like, I'm sorry, Jim. Like, Ohio State, the program was in shambles in 2011. And then Urban Meyer and then Ryan Day in succession built it into the machine that it is today. And how many times did you get beat? Like, they managed to turn things around really quick. Why couldn't you? Like, stop acting like Ryan Day did absolutely nothing. He's a phenomenal coach. He's beaten you several times before. Also, his old, like, thank God he switched to Lululemon khakis, because his old khakis were stupid. And yeah, I think we can.
That'll get him.
Yeah. We can wrap up there.
Yeah, we could go on and on about Harbaugh. But yeah, I think obviously I don't have any real beef. He's really, like, he's not that bad of a guy, but obviously we just despise
him. He really
him.
Isn't that bad of a person.
Yeah. But okay, he just wears stupid khakis and coaches that team up north. So we don't like him.
Yes, that's exactly it. I was watching the episode of Parks and Rec yesterday where Leslie is building, if you're not familiar with the show, I'm sorry, where Leslie's building the park on Lot 48, and, like, the park architect from Eagleton, like, presents this beautiful design, and she's, like, so mean to him because he's from Eagleton, but he's, like, super, super nice. Anyway, that's kind of how I feel about Jim Harbaugh. I'm like, I know he's a nice guy, I know his players love him, and, like, I know he's, like, fine, but I don't care because he's from Michigan.
Exactly. Yep.
Before we wrap up the show, Megan, do you have any shout outs?
Yeah, I just wanted to shout out the New York Rangers. I am a Blue Jackets fan first and foremost because I am from Columbus, but my dad's from New York, so the Rangers are my second favorite team, and they have just been so exciting to watch in these playoffs. Came back and won in game 7 in their past two series. And now they play the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight in game 1. So hoping for another series win, but they've just been so exciting to watch in these NHL playoffs, which has just been so fun to watch in general. But yes, go Rangers.
Thanks. Mine is less though a shout out and more of, I guess, a memorial. I don't know. So we did not have our show last week, but obviously We had Memorial Day on Monday, and I hope that everyone is able to take a brief moment to remember the sacrifice of our service members and why we celebrate that day. That's all we have for today. As a reminder, you can follow Megan at Megan Hustline, me at Meredith Hine, and the site at LandGrant33. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks again for listening to Play Like a Girl, and as always, go Bucks.